What's up, guys? I'm live right now. Welcome to Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. My name is Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody in. Everybody gather on in the room. Let's chop it up, ladies and gentlemen. Let's chop it up. We're going to do what we supposed to do on today's broadcast. And by the way, today's show is brought to you by the House of Ancestors. Are you ready to take your consciousness to the next level? The energy on Earth is shifting, and you need to be shifting with it. Check out the houseofancestors.com, where they have products that will lift your spirituality and your consciousness. That's the houseofancestors.com. Let everybody know that we're live right now, ladies and gentlemen. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, because we're going to chop it up like we always do. Let's take a quick commercial break. Don't you move a muscle, because we will be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Yo, it's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. And if you really want to learn how to attract beautiful women, go to badboymembership.com. The Bad Boy Membership gives you step-by-step, easy-to-follow dating advice tutorials every month. You'll also get my documentary, Game Kings, The Definition of Game, for free by joining the Bad Boy Membership. Step up your game today and go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin, by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed. Available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack. And the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game. Jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get the Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
If you are in need of credit repair services and you're looking for a company that is professional, knowledgeable, and can get you results, contact Mastermind Credit Restoration. You can contact them by phone at 832-626-3900 or schedule a consultation online at themastermindcreditrestoration.com. Be sure to follow them on Facebook and Instagram at Mastermind Credit Restoration LLC.
Are you ready for a guaranteed solution to end white supremacy? Tired of worrying about your safety, finances, and well-being? That's because you need spiritual protection in order to put these deficient white supremacists in their place. Imagine having the upper hand. At StarKnowledge.net, I teach black people how to connect to the hidden name of God in the Bible, the Elohim. That will help you speak your desires into manifestation. And together we can cast out the end white supremacy. Only at StarKnowledge.net. That's StarKnowledge.net. That's StarKnowledge.net.
Are you looking to start your own business? Millions of brothers have turned to eBay to escape the rat race. Become your own boss and get the Power Seller Research eBook. It's a comprehensive, step-by-step guide that explains how to start an eBay business. The website is powersellerresearch.com. Again, that's powersellerresearch.com.
Stop overpaying for supplements. Static Supplements is your newest and best source for superfoods, proteins, pre-workout powders, and much, much more. The Static line offers all natural ingredients, lightning-fast delivery, and award-winning customer service. Static is also 100% black-owned and operated. Go to staticsup.com. That's staticsupp.com and see for yourself. Let us help you be the best you that you can be. Never settle. Never give up.
What's up, family? You guys need to check out this cookie company out of Houston, Texas called The Cookie Confidant. Man, they sell these beautiful, delicious, huge cookies right out of Houston, Texas, man. And the brother has been in business since 2017. And I've tried these cookies, man. They are bomb, bomb, bomb. Very delicious. My personal favorite are the chocolate chip pecan cookies, man. They are bomb. Y'all need to go to CookieConfidant.com. to get these cookies. Black owned company, man, they got chocolate chip peanut butter cookies, white chocolate cookies with sprinkles, man. So anything you like in a cookie, they got it. So again, go to cookieconfidant.com. That's cookieconfidant.com. Ladies, is your stomach sticking out more than your butt? Fellas, is your chest looking like you can fit a C-cup sports bra? Walking around here looking like Megan Thee Stallion about your body? If you answered yes to any of these questions, check out SolomonsFitnessWorld.com. Solomon will help you transform your body ASAP. Trainer Solomon Pratt, he is the best. He offers customized online personal training from his app, and he sells the best ankle power and booty resistant bands in the industry. Solomon Fitness World bands work well for men, women, and it will tone your body anywhere. So go to SolomonsFitnessWorld.com right now. Enter the discount code Tariq and save 10% on your order. SolomonsFitnessWorld.com.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave a op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at oldgoonjuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground, so you can feel free when you out in the town. Old goon juice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I said, whoever threw that paper, your mom's a hoe.
Oh, we're back. We're back. We're back. Papi Akute to the family. Papi Akute to the family. How are y'all doing? Haven't chopped it up with you guys in a few days, but I'm here. Glad to have y'all in here, ladies and gentlemen. I hope everybody has their copy of the buck-breaking film. I hope everybody has their copies of the Hidden Colors films. A lot of folks are asking me to do another package deal, and I kind of want to do a package deal to show appreciation to everybody who contributed to the museum. I kind of want to do a special package deal just to show some appreciation to everybody who contributed to the museum, the Hidden History Museum. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, you can still contribute to the Hidden History Museum. We still need you to contribute, because we're still raising money for the museum so that we can pay off as much as we need to pay off early on. So the link is still there. So we still need people to cooperate and still contribute to the museum, ladies and gentlemen. And you go to HiddenHistoryMuseum.com, HiddenHistoryMuseum.com, ladies and gentlemen. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. We also have a brand new Facebook group. We have an official Foundational Black American Facebook group, ladies and gentlemen. We still have Melanoid 300. We still have Melanoid 300. We've had that for a few years. With Melanoid 300, you know, since we've had it for a minute, and we've used that as a nice meeting ground and think tank. Over the years, we've had a couple of non-FBA riffraffs kind of slither in there and kind of mess the energy up in certain occasions. Now, it's still a good private room. It's still a great room to chop up game. But we have now an additional room. We have the FBA room, the Foundation of Black American private room on Facebook, and we made that a little more difficult for people to get in. We're being a little stricter on the Foundation of Black American group. In order to even get approved, we have some coded stuff in there where we speak in Tut. So even to even get in there, you have to know a little Tut to even get in. If you don't know it, that's, you know, you can't get in. So you have to have a little bit of knowledge of Tut to even get in the Foundational Black American private group on Facebook. Now, there are some people who may not know it, but I already know them, or I'm already kind of familiar with who they are. But sometimes you just got to tighten up that damn circle a little bit. Sometimes you got to tighten it up just a little bit. You understand? But a lot of people have been denied if they don't know the code words or what we're saying in Tut. You have to have, there's an introductory question, and if you don't know what the question is, and if you seem confused, well, you're not ready for that room. You understand? Some people are like, damn, I'm trying to learn. You better go learn. You see, that's what I like about the Tut language. See, you can kind of screen a lot of people. And what I like is that the people that's already in there, they've been screened. They know, most of them in the room already know a little bit of Tut. So that means that, you know, they're serious about maintaining, upholding, and upholding our culture and our lineage. See, we got the real serious people in there now. And already so far, the dialogue is real constructive. See, when we have a dialogue and people are on the same page and you screen them and you vetted them, the dialogue becomes very, very constructive immediately. Also, we're going to have some rules in the new room where you just can't come in there lurking. If you're going to be in the room, if we're going to allow you in, you're going to have to participate in conversations. You're going to have to participate in some of the conversations. You're not just going to be in there lurking around. We're not going to have that. We need people who can chop it up and we can have good dialogue with each other. It was somebody, we were talking about the museum and some ideas for the museum. Somebody in the chat room, in the private FBA room, gave a great idea. And I want to find out this person's name. I forgot it offhand because I want to give certain people props for their ideas. And they gave a great idea for what we can do with the museum. I was asking a question. How can we honor some of the living legends out here in the museum? When we get the museum going, one thing I want to do, I want to honor a lot of our living legends as well. And somebody suggested that we should have a monthly congratulatory celebration or featuring of a living legend. Every month we'll have the living legend of the month. I thought that was a phenomenal idea. One month we can honor our good sister Shahrazad Ali. Another month we can honor Dr. Claude Anderson. You know, so many people we can honor. So many good people out here doing good work. I want to give our people their flowers while they're alive. Now in the museum, we're going to honor a lot of the ancestors and a lot of our Foundation of Black Americans, some of our global allies who did great things. But I want to give people their flowers when they're alive, because see, that incentivizes other people to take on that activism a mantle. You understand? So we are going to have to start honoring our people. Dr. Kaba, that's a given. Now, we're not going to honor him for just a month. We're going to have a whole thing in there for Dr. Kaba. People like Dr. Kaba, James Small, Dr. Phil Valentine, it's not going to be those. They're different. We're going to actually honor them, period. It's just going to be an all year round honoring of them. Some of those living legends, we're just going to, you know, they're going to be set in stone in the museum. Yeah, when we, Brother Kaba, James Small, that's not a once a month thing. That's going to be some, those are brilliant, brilliant, brilliant master teachers. We're going to have them in the master teacher section. Yeah, people like Neely Fuller, we're going to have him in the master teacher section. But I think a lot of the newer and younger people, we can honor them as some of the up and coming or living legends. So just again, if you can get in the chat room or the message group, if you can get in the Foundation of Black American group and put in some of your input, that's a great place for us to kind of flesh out a lot of ideas. Yeah, Bobby Hemmett, that's another one that we got to honor. But it's important for us to have our own little private think tanks to come up with ideas and strategies that we can do to kind of help those in the community. Guys, have y'all seen the story about this little black girl with this adopted white family? She was at a Costco, I think in Palm City, California, somewhere out here. And it was alleged that this white family was being abusive to this black girl. It was a Hispanic lady who saw the black girl looking very sad and distraught, and she was crying, and they said the black girl was bleeding. And the black girl, from what I understand, told the Hispanic lady that she'd been abused sexually, allegedly. So this has kind of been a thing bubbling on the internet. The police was called. The cops obviously didn't do a damn thing. They went in there talking about, yeah, she's fine. Race soldiers protect these suspected white supremacists who adopt these black kids. That's a major problem. And the black girl, you can tell she wasn't being well taken care of. Her hair is all matted on top of her head. From what I understand, the little girl's name is Molly. The suspected white supremacist father is a dentist in Arizona. You understand? I've talked about this for a while, how black children are adopted by these dirty goddamn white supremacist suspects and they are mistreated. We could see in the video that the little girl had on one of those old time dresses. You know, they get these adopted black kids, and you notice the black kids are never dressed like the white kids. The white kids, and there were several white kids with this family, they're all dressed normal in modern clothes, and they got the little black girl dressed like a goddamn slave. I've told y'all about that before. They get these black kids and dress them up in these old hand-me-down clothes, or they dress them in these crazy costumes. These white supremacists are very vicious with this nonsense. And a lot of our babies are in danger and nothing is done, and to the point where people want to speak up when these kids end up getting killed, like the Hart family, like those black kids who were adopted by those white women lesbians. The child services knew that these black babies were being abused. These children were running away from home, going to neighbors, begging for food for years. And these babies ended up getting killed by these filthy fucking white supremacists. That doesn't sit right with me. You understand? Yeah, these Mormons, from what I understand, the people that adopted this black girl, from what I understand, her name is Molly. These people are Mormons, and these Mormons got a lot of protection. These Mormons got a lot of political connections, man. These Mormons are hella connected. But let's be very clear. I don't want to hear dumb Negroes talking about, well, if black people just adopt the kid, they wouldn't have to go shut your stupid ass up. Because the thing is, most black people, we don't really give our children up for adoption. Black kids get taken from black families. We've seen several videos over the last few weeks of black people having their biological children viciously kidnapped from them in hospitals. We've seen this. This one sister who was on American Idol, she was a finalist on American Idol, they are violently snatching this woman's kids because she took her kids to the hospital in Florida. They said the kids look malnutrition, and they're just snatching her children up. I think she got some of the kids back, fortunately. I hope so. But we need to have a think tank on what we need to do as a collective group across the country to help save some of these black children who are being adopted and abused, because law enforcement, they're not doing a damn thing. Law enforcement protects the race soldiers. Black kids get their kid, black folks get their children snatched up by race soldiers, but race soldiers turn a blind eye when you see an obviously abused black child with one of these white supremacist families. We're going to have a nationwide covert network where we're looking out for these children, and we're going to have to create safe houses or safe spaces and communal resources for these children. Do y'all remember a few years ago, it was a sister who called me up, and she was in one of those situations where they got her from Africa. It was a white man, and some of y'all might remember, this was on one of my lives. The black girl who was down there in Atlanta, she was adopted by this white family. The dad worked for the damn CDC. They brought her over from Africa. She's over here stuck. They're doing all types of stuff to her. The white woman in the house is acting funny towards her. They're kind of abusive and hostile towards the girl. We helped get her ass up out of there. I got that sister a plane ticket to go to New York to meet with some other relatives. Then she went back to Liberia. We got her back home to her family. She reunited with her family. We need to do this type of stuff all the time. We need to sit down as a group and figure out ways so we can help these babies. It's just going to have to be up to us, guys. This stuff is going to have to be up to us. We're going to have to start producing justice. And stop being afraid to produce justice. See, when black people produce justice, sometimes the dominant society gets hostile. So the hell what? Speaking of that hostility, y'all know that suspected white supremacist woman, Ashley Babbitt, and she followed me on Twitter, by the way. She would say little slick shit to me. The white woman who got killed up there in the Capitol building trying to overthrow the damn government, trying to have an insurrection, committing a major crime in the Capitol building. the woman Ashley Babbitt, who got killed by the police, who was doing his job. So now they've identified the cop, and it was a black man who shot her. So now, boy, these white supremacists are crying bloody murder. Boy, they're crying foul. Where all the Blue Lives Matter talk now? They've been threatening this guy. He finally came out and did an interview because they've outed him. They're not going to press charges against him. But here's the brother right here doing an interview. Let me play the interview of brother Michael Byrd, who was doing his job. This man was saving the people of Congress. This man did his job. The white supremacists hate this. But this is Michael Byrd, who shot the suspected white supremacist who was in the middle of creating and committing a crime in the Capitol building. Hold on.
Your name has been battered about on the internet, but you've never been officially publicly identified. Do you want to tell us who you are?
My name is Michael Byrd. I'm a lieutenant for the United States Capitol Police.
For months, he has lived in hiding, he says, over this moment. His decision to use deadly force against a rioter as she climbed through a barricaded door that leads to the House chamber. In the months since, he's been the target of threats.
Can you give us the nature of some of those threats?
They talked about, you know, killing me, cutting off my head, you know, very vicious and cruel things.
Racist things?
There were some racist attacks as well. It's all disheartening because I know I was doing my job.
Yes, you were.
Given the nature of the threats that you describe.
Keep your head up, brother. Keep your head up, brother. You were doing your damn job. This brother was doing his job. Keep your head up. Keep your head up. All of the Blue Lives Matter folks, they done turned. They done flipped the game. Now, listen to how they talk now. Now, when black folks are protesting or rioting or whatever, they justify doing all types of stuff to us. They've created all types of laws to run black folks over down in Florida. Remember, if a black person is protesting, they gave white people the right to run black folks over. They said it is not a crime to run over a damn black protester down there in Florida. You can use all types of deadly force against black protesters, rioters, looters, whatever. You can do anything to a black person who's protesting, okay? But now listen to Tucker Carlson and those guys, the Fox News crowd. Now listen to them now. Hold on.
Yeah, it didn't alter it at all. So she was an unarmed protester. I don't think we execute unarmed protesters, do we? Well, we just did. No one's apologized for it. He's a hero.
Oh, so now Tucker's talking about an unarmed protester being executed. So now y'all using the term execution. Oh. So now it's executions now. So when you shoot somebody who's unarmed, that's an execution. Don't that sound familiar? Ain't that what we be saying? Ain't that what we've been saying for the longest? Unarmed black people out here getting executed? Oh, there's no execution. Shut your nigger mouth. If he just complied, well, the cop was just doing his job. The cop feared for his life. Well, brother Michael Byrd feared for his life. If Ashley Babbitt just complied, you do the crime, you do the time. You understand? Oh, yeah, these same people who support Kyle Rittenhouse. See, let's stop playing games. This is some racial nonsense these people are on. Oh, they're two-faced as hell. They are racist-ass hypocrites. See, don't play that game with them when they sit up justifying killing us all the time, because when the shoe is flipped, they do not justify the same thing happening to them at all. They do not justify it at all, ladies and gentlemen. So always understand the racial element of the game, ladies and gentlemen. Anywho, by the way, guys, new Mink Slide EP coming soon. A lot of folks are asking about the new Mink Slide. We got a new EP coming out called Funk on Wheels. That's the name of the new EP. It should be out next month. We're doing the photo for it tomorrow. I got on Facebook. I was asking for some additional backup models for the shoot we're doing tomorrow. I put up a post on my story. Any models in LA, hit me up. Why is it a bunch of old models? Not, they're not models, but old a bunch of old ass women talking about they want to be in the photo shoot. I'm like, God, hold on. How old are you? Okay, I got a bunch of old motherfuckers. I'm not knocking, you know, I'm not getting into ageism or age discrimination, but damn, this is not a Frankie Beverly and Maze photo shoot. Some of y'all are very old talking about y'all want to be a model. I'm very confused. What's going on out here? Now, we already got, we got some other models. We got some other ones. We got some younger ones, but damn. I'm just very interested why so many old women were sending pictures trying to put some filters on to hide your age. I'm not knocking you. Some of you are very lovely for your age, but damn, we're not doing a BB King album or nothing. This is kind of an R&B thing. We still want people to kind of be young on the thing. I'm not knocking you, but damn. Okay, I know some of y'all might look young for 60, but no. That's not really what we're looking for right now. That, you know, when we do another album, if we do a Charlie Wilson video, I call you, okay? If we're doing something like that, if we're doing a Charlie Wilson remix, I call some of you. But not for this one. This is not what we're doing right now, okay? Not what we're doing right now. But I'll holler at y'all on some other situations, okay? Yeah, if we're doing some stuff, if you need tickets to the Tom Joyner cruise, y'all holler at me. I'll see what I can put together for you. But, Rob, this, I didn't say an age. That is correct. I didn't specify an age. Now, we did some casting. We had to go to some of the casting sites where you have to specify age. So somebody said correctly, I did not specify an age. So I think that gave some of the elderly thoughts a glimmer of hope. They're like, oh, shit, I'm back in the game, baby. Oh, shit, you went and dusted off your thong. No, Granny, don't, no, because there's some old women on Instagram who still be getting it in. Some of them still got body. You know, they be out there with their compression socks on, twerking. I'm not mad at you, Nana, but this project is really not what we're, this is not going to work for the project that we're on, okay? But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. Now, listen. Let's get into what we're talking about on today's broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about circus clown culture, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about circus clown culture. Now, what do I mean by that? Right now, you have something going on the internet, TikTok, Instagram, where you have the crate challenge, the milk crate challenge, and a lot of black people are participating in the milk crate challenge. This milk crate challenge is really the dumbest shit that you can imagine. Let's keep it a buck. This is some dumb shit. This is where a bunch of black folks, primarily black, you have a few whites and Hispanics or whatever, but mostly the most people are doing this are black people. So you got a bunch of black people stacking up a bunch of crates and walking on the crates, trying to walk over the crates, and they're falling down, they're injuring themselves, breaking bones, spraining knees. They said one girl died, but she didn't die. A girl in Dallas, she did not die. But black folks are harming themselves doing this goofball, nonsensical, nothing burger. It's dumb and it's dangerous. And our brother Neely Fuller talks about how black people, we've been programmed to run away from constructive behavior, to even hate on constructive behavior, but gravitate towards the most non-constructive nonsense you can gravitate towards. Now, when we talk about doing something constructive, remember, we talk about doing something like museums. We talk about, hey, let's get the museum going. Remember all the people hating on that, talking about we don't need to do that. Remember all the dusty betas, bums and mammies sitting up talking about how we don't need to do a damn museum. These are the same Negroes who are running around on some damn milk crates falling down. The main people talking about we don't need no museum, we don't need to learn history, we don't need to educate nobody, we don't need an educational institution. These are the same people who will stack up some milk crates and bust their ass for some TikTok clout. Let's be real. This culture of gravitating towards complete nonsensical, goofy bullshit, that's going to have to stop. Let's just keep it a buck. This is dumb. This is circus culture. We have to stop gravitating towards the dumbest shit we can gravitate towards and making it a trend just for attention. See, this boils down to just being seen. A lot of black folks just want to be seen. We're attention deprived, thirsty for attention. This is a way to get attention. We've learned that in order to get attention, if we do something completely stupid, we'll get a lot of attention, particularly attention from white people, by doing stupid shit. This is why we gravitate towards so much stupid shit. We'll get not only do we get attention, we'll get a low-key pat on the head for doing something stupid. This is circus behavior. This is what a circus is. The whole concept of circus clowns really in America started with minstrelsy. One of the first major circus clowns, a person who started the modern circus clown, was a guy in the late 1700s, early 1800s, named Joseph Grimaldi. This was a white man who pretty much started the modern clown phenomenon as we know it in circuses. He would also do blackface too and portray the noble savages. You understand? So a lot of clown culture came out of the blackface culture, the minstrel shows, especially later on in the 1800s, the hobo clown, all of the clown stuff that we saw in circuses later on, they were low-key mimicking black people. They were mocking black people. The tramp, the hobo, all of that came from black people who were poor after the Civil War, who would hop on trains and kind of roll around the country. The quote unquote down on their luck black person. That became the thesis for the hobo clown. And in circuses, what do clowns do? Clowns walk around in these shabby clothes. And even the word clown is an old Northern European word that means clumsy. The root word comes from the word clumsy. So a clown would walk around doing clumsy, goofy shit, falling all over, tripping, bumping into things. A bunch of clowns get in a car, they squeeze in a car, and a bunch of clowns jump out. A bunch of clowns just running around doing nonsensical bullshit. That's entertaining to audiences. Hey, look at this clown fall around, trip on his own 2 feet. That's entertainment. And this is what black people get into. Black people get into this clownish behavior where you're performing. What do they do at circuses? They do dangerous acts to perform for the audience. They get on a tightrope. They walk around on a tightrope, endangering themselves for the entertainment of the audience. They stick their heads in the mouths of lions. They do all of these dangerous acts just for the sake of entertainment. You dig? They just engage in foolishness. This is what a lot of black people do. If you look at the screen, this Negro is on a crate falling down for TikTok clout. This is people engaging in foolish behavior in order to get clout on TikTok, in order to entertain some of the white folks who look at them. We have to get out of that non-constructive BS. Being the dunce, being the fool, being the court jester, because we think this is going to keep us safe. You see, this is a low-key form of cooning. You see, cooning takes on many forms. See, we think if we do certain levels of cooning and we make white people comfortable, white people are comfortable when we're falling down, hurting ourselves, injuring ourselves. If they see us that we're just big old children, babbling, falling around, being clumsy. Well, they're not going to harm us because look at how stupid we are. You're not going to harm somebody who's stupid, are you? See, that's the mentality. That's why niggas love engaging in that, and nobody calls it out. Nobody gets out here and says, hey, people need to stop this stupid shit. Nobody ever says that. Now, when we were getting the museum money together, notice all the people talking about, hey, why y'all doing that? The hell y'all doing that for? What, a museum? Hell no. When we want to do something constructive, now we got a bunch of naysayers. You know why? Because a museum is threatening to white supremacy. When we do a museum, that's a threat to white supremacy. So now the white folks are going to get mad, and now the niggas are going to get scared. When white folks get mad, niggas get scared. Or you's going to get us in good trouble. Don't you do no damn museum. You know how these white folks going to act to us? The white folks going to be mad. These fools out here about to break their damn neck on some crates for nothing. That is completely non-constructive bullshit. Showing that we're not a threat. Hey, look at me. I'm good for nothing. Look at me. I'm falling down on some crates. Leave me alone, massa. I ain't no threat. I ain't no threat at all. And notice most of this stuff is done in these hood areas, by the way. Let's be very clear. A lot of it is done in these hood areas. You know? That's some shit we got to cut out. See, people think cooning is going to make them safe. That brings me to Larry Elder. Larry Elder, OG coon, and he's running for governor out here. He's in that recall race to get out the old governor. Now, Larry Elder has spent the majority of his life talking about how inherently violent black men are. Larry Elder has gone on for years talking about how black men are so violent. Black men are violent. Black men commit all this violent crime. Everything negative happens to black people is justified because black people are violent, violent, violent. Black men are so violent. The statistics show that black men are so violent. Now, Larry Elder, he has a white ex-wife. His white ex-wife then came out talking about how violent he was to her, all the domestic violence he committed, and the white media is running with that. And nigga, when you were talking about violence, you were talking about your damn self, Negro, and the white supremacists, they done turned on your black ass. They done turned on him, and now they're calling him out for his violence. Doing dumb shit for nothing. That's non-constructive, being that type of coon. Sitting here disparaging black men, you a damn black man, your damn self. Do you think that all of that dumping on black men wasn't rubbing off on you? You don't think they look at you as the same? You think that they look at you differently because you shitting on other black folks? No. They look at you as speaking about yourself. You're projecting. Come on now. Yeah, I'm surprised he had a wife. I thought this nigga was pussy friendly. I'm surprised he had a wife. I'm surprised he had a damn wife. But obviously he put the Negro paws on her, allegedly. You understand? But we got to be more constructive with our actions. We got to stop being afraid to be constructive people. We got to get off that. See, we got to understand our culture. We got to understand who we are. This is why history is very important. So we can stop trying to be like other groups. This is why it's very important to understand and recognize and respect our history, especially as foundational black Americans, and respect our culture. I'm tired of seeing all these black people, especially a lot of these hood chicks. Notice a lot of these hood folks love taking on names and identities of other cultures. I'm tired of seeing these sisters, these hood rappers, these hood girls running around with names like China this and Chinese kitty, Japanese doll, Asian cat, Asian doll, Asian titties, Asian vagina, Chinese coochie. Every other rapper, female rapper, has some kind of Asian or some shit in their name, taking on another person's culture. And a lot of these niggas ain't no different. All of these Gotti's and Gambinos and Luciano's, all of these dudes taking on these Italian mafia names. These are groups that are not, these are not people that we should aspire to be. These are not groups that we should have some kind of higher regard for. Yeah, Tokyo Tony, Tokyo Taint, all this stupid shit. Family, that's corny. I want y'all to stop doing that. That's a lot of stuff. We got to stop doing a lot of things. Stop revering other people's cultures. As Foundation of Black Americans, we got a great culture that we can revere. This is why we pump up the names of our ancestors. Yeah, I think people think, let's be very clear about this Italian mafia thing. Let's be very clear. The Italian mafia ain't shit, and they never were shit. Let's be clear. A lot of black folks kind of look up to them because they were in the underworld making money. And to black folks, that appears that they were kind of bucking the system of white supremacy. They were, we look at them as oppressed underdogs who we can identify with, who were bucking the system. No. We don't look at Italian gangsters like that. Because there was nothing really honorable that they were doing or really gangster about what they were doing. The only thing the Italian gangsters had that black folks didn't have was their whiteness. It was their whiteness that gave them a damn pass. Let's be very clear. It was the whiteness that gave Italian gangsters a pass. That is literally the only thing. They were able to use their whiteness to pay off cops and pay off judges. That was literally the only thing they had over us. And it was their whiteness that allowed them to do that. A lot of black folks didn't have those connections with those judges to pay off. A few did, but not many. So they were allowed to be on the code of whiteness. The Italian gangsters weren't really doing, but they were shaking down. Basically, they got started shaking down mom and pop stores in New York. That wasn't really no gangster shit. They were shaking down mom and pop stores for protection money. And somebody said they organized, but it was really their Jewish lawyers doing the organizing. It was the Jewish lawyers really making the connections for them. They were the real brains behind a lot of the stuff they were doing. Look at the Godfather, the Consigliere. Who was really, really running the show. Dick Gregory talked about that before. It's really the Jewish lawyers who are really running the show, handling the books and all that. These Guido, they were dumb as hell, man. Look at the Godfather of Harlem. They portray how goofy they were. These were not some savvy ass dudes. They really weren't, man. Yeah, people like Bumpy Johnson. Now that was a G, because this brother was in the height of the Jim Crow era making moves. The Jones brothers out of Chicago, these were some cats that were making some thorough moves. You understand? We got our own so-called gangsters that we can kind of tip our hat to and see how they really, really did it. How they created the modern lottery system, the numbers game. That was something that black folks started. We understand? Man, this is why we got to understand our heroes and our outlaws and all that. We have to revere ours, the great Bass Reeves, who the Lone Ranger was based off of. We talked about that in one of the Hidden Colors. Bass Reeves was a gangster. This was a brother who was enslaved, beat his slave master up in Texas, and then went over there to Oklahoma to get protection from the Black Seminoles. See, when we talk about history, we got to put all the history together. And we're going to talk about our brother Bass Reeves in the museum, how he went over there to Oklahoma, which was Indian territory. And the Indians were many Foundation of Black Americans. Particularly the Black Seminoles, and they were not going to go up around those Black Seminoles talking about they were going to take somebody back into slavery. The Black Seminoles didn't play that shit. This is why we have to know history, and Bass Reeves became one of the greatest lawmen in the West. Bass Reeves wasn't no damn joke. This man captured thousands of damn outlaws, was never injured at all. This dude was a G. They based the Lone Ranger after him. They try to low-key deny it, but they based the Lone Ranger after Bass Reeves. In fact, Bass Reeves, he had a Mongolian Native American sidekick named Grant Johnson. I want y'all to look that name up. That was Bass Reeves' quote-unquote Indian sidekick. That was the prototype for Tonto, the Lone Ranger in Tonto. Tonto was the Lone Ranger's sidekick. So none of this stuff is a coincidence. This is why we need to learn history. This is why history is very important. And also, man, we got to understand when people put this propaganda out against us, we got to know how to counter that. Now, as we know, the vax, you know, they're stepping it up to try to incentivize folks to get that vax. They're talking about raising insurance premiums on people if they're not vaxxed. And I got to watch my words, because if you say anything about the vax, boy, you're paid to get dinged. So I got to be very careful. So what I'm understanding, they're talking about raising insurance premiums. They're really going to start doing things to try to incentivize people to get that thing. And what they're doing now, they're using this old school propaganda, trying to make it seem like it's black folks going around spreading the COVID. They're openly saying this on news media outlets, and they're going around low-key blaming black people for the spread of this thing. So they're trying to marginalize and put a dark cloud over the heads of black people so that black people will be shamed into getting vaccinated. You understand? Now, if we understand history, the white supremacists, they've always sat up here and tried to blame black folks for diseases and made up diseases that black people have in order to justify harming us. They've been doing that for the longest. And what's interesting, the people with the diseases has always been the people in the dominant society. They sit up here and try to make it seem like we're the disease carriers. It's always been the people in the dominant society that's been carrying diseases. See, they try to create a narrative that black people and Aboriginal people over here were saved by Europeans because of the diseases that Aboriginal people had. So white folks came and saved them. And they also create a narrative that a lot of the Aboriginal people here were wiped out because of European diseases. No, the black Aboriginal people were not wiped out. This is why many of us are still alive today. All of us were not wiped out. See, when we talk about Aboriginal black history in America, see, we have to really get this story straight. Do you think they didn't kill off all the Aboriginal people over here? We're still alive. We're still here. And when they talk about Native American, you think of some light person who ain't really no damn Native American. There's some $5 Indian. They got you thinking that some Mongolian person is the real Aboriginal person, or some $5 Indian is the real Aboriginal person. See, we got to really get that history straight. But I digress as far as that. But as far as history, historically, black people, we've been the picture of health. Historically, it's been the dominant society. They've been the disease carriers. Going all the way back into Europe, and I've talked about this many, many times, all the plagues that hit Europe. Dude, Europe, several times over, they've almost died out several times over if it were not for black people going up in Europe saving them. They've had a couple of major plagues in Europe. The Justinian Plague, the Bubonic Plague, the Black Plague, that wiped out over half the population. I've talked about this many times. The Justinian Plague was wiping Europeans out so fast, they were about to be extinct if it weren't for the Moors going up in there. And they had all of that head lice. Because understand, a lot of diseases were passed through fleas and lice. And even today, a lot of people in the dominant society, they have a head lice problem. Just imagine that in Europe, hundreds of years ago, thousands of years, it was major. Those fleas hopping on rats and then hopping on them, and that lice hopping on rodents, then hopping on them, because they were sleeping in barns with animals. They didn't really have no real sanitation. It was disgusting out there. Skin-eating diseases. It was horrible out there. And the thing is, they would not bathe because they would get baptized, and they thought if they bathed, they would wash off the baptism. So they wouldn't bathe. if they got like holy water on their foreheads, they wouldn't wash their faces for the rest of their lives. They would do shit like that. They didn't want to wash off or bathe because they thought that, you know, that would bring in evil spirits. They thought the dirt and the funk was keeping off evil spirits. See, this is why, you know, the white supremacists learned how to be very scientific, because they would try to rely on religious and spiritual beliefs back then. They thought the plague was some kind of evil omen that was happening. So they were doing all of these religious rituals trying to get rid of the fleas and the lice and the diseases, and that wasn't working. So they had to start learning science from the Moors who went in there. The Moors went up there. It was black people who went up there and said, hey, look, I don't know about all that sage and all that shit y'all burning, or all of those little old primitive rituals you doing, but what y'all need is some of this thing we got called alcohol. And alcohol is now known as alcohol. They say, look, we're going to have to use some of the stuff that we got to clean this shit up. We need liquids and water. So the Moors went in there cleaning all that up, and about 10, 15 years after the Moors arrived, the plague was done. You understand? We got to understand real history. Don't let them put their filthy history on us, because they got a very bad habit of doing that. Back in the 1800s, they would run some propaganda in the white newspapers, in the major newspapers. They would say that black people are running around here with blue gum Negro disease. This was actually some propaganda they put out in the late 1800s, 1900s, talking about black people with blue gums are running around biting white people, poisoning them, and killing them. You can Google that, blue gum Negro disease. This was some negative propaganda they were putting out against black people in order to justify the new Jim Crow laws after slavery. Late 1800s, early 1900s, they were putting this dirty propaganda out about black people that was completely false, saying that black people were disease-ridden when we were not. And the irony is, around this same time, there was a white woman who came over to the United States in the late 1800s from Ireland, an Ireland immigrant named Mary Mellon. Now, Mary Mellon moved to New York, and Mary, she had typhoid, but she was asymptomatic. She had it so long, she didn't have any symptoms. She was up there in Ireland, dirty as hell. So she had typhoid in her body, but she didn't have any symptoms. So Mary Mellon got work as a cook in New York for wealthy families. And every family she worked for, the white people would get sick. These wealthy families would get sick, and she would go to different families cooking for them, and every single one of them would get sick, gravely sick. Some people even died. Just dozens and dozens and dozens of people were getting sick, and these were well-to-do people, and nobody could figure out why well-to-do white people were getting sick, because typhoid fever, that was something that the poor white people living in slums, that was something that they got. But why are these well-to-do white people getting this damn typhoid fever? So eventually they traced it back to Mary, and they gave her a nickname, Typhoid Mary. This is where you get the term Typhoid Mary. It's a very infamous term, Typhoid Mary. The media labeled her Typhoid Mary. So what they did, dozens and dozens of people got this typhoid because of her. She was denying it. She's like, ain't shit wrong with me. They had to put her in quarantine. She said, okay, damn, y'all got to, I don't want to be in this quarantine. They said, we'll let you out, but you cannot work as a cook. So they let her out. She started working as a laundress, but she wasn't making enough money doing laundry. So she started working as a cook again. And then again, dozens of people started getting sick. She tried to change her name and go from family to family. And eventually they caught up with her. They said, we're going to have to lock her back down, put her back in quarantine. And one thing they asked her, damn, Mary, what the hell is going on? Why are you spreading all this damn typhoid to everybody and you're not really sick? And she admitted that she never, ever washed her hands. One thing was, she admitted that she never, ever washed her hands. And I want y'all to think about that for a second. She She's like, wash my hands for what? I don't wash my hands. The hell am I washing my hands for? She never washed her hands. So this woman was a one-person super spreader. Now understand this. This woman never washed her hands ever. And she was a cook. So now this woman, Typhoid Mary, and they said that the typhoid bacteria was really all up in her gallbladder, but she didn't let them take the gallbladder out. They wanted to take her gallbladder out. She wouldn't let them do it. So it was inside of her body. So just imagine, family, I want y'all to think about this. This woman, never washing her hands in her life. She's going to the bathroom doing number two. She wipes herself, never washes her hand. She has a cold, wipes her nose, never washes her hand. This woman has a menstrual cycle. She changes whatever toiletry she's using for her menstruals and never washes her damn hand. And then she goes make your damn food. Do you understand how damn nasty that is? Let's keep it a buck. Do y'all understand how nasty that is? And they want to put all that filth on black folks. Now, juxtapose that now to all of these white celebrities running around here talking about they don't bathe. That's their culture. This ain't nothing new. Even now, all of these A-list white celebrities talk about how they don't bathe. Family, how many times have y'all been in a restroom, black folks, and you see a white person come out the urinal or come out of the stall and walk right past the sink and don't use that motherfucker? How many times have you seen that? If you've seen that, raise your hand in the chat room. Let me see a black hand, because I see it all the damn time. I'm at the airport, these white men being here doing their business and walk right out the stall and not touch one drop of water. They do that now. You understand? And then they try to put that filth and dirt on us like we're disease spreaders. They love trying to put that filth on us. You understand? They do some nasty shit. I be driving and I see white people in their car eating boogers, digging in their nose, eating boogers, grown-ass white people eating boogers. They do some of the nastiest vile shit ever and then try to put that on us. No, y'all better check them on that and understand their history. Some of y'all got coworkers. Y'all better not eat after your damn coworker. You understand? You better watch your coworker and watch what the hell they're eating, and don't eat after them. You better watch that when they come and bring you some rhubarb pie. You better not eat that damn rhubarb. And most of y'all don't anyway. Instinctively, you know not to eat that shit. A lot of y'all got coworkers and your white buddies. Hey, dude, I brought you. My grandma made some boysenberry pie, dude. Oh, man, thank you. Man, thank you, Billy. Man, I appreciate you, Billy. I'm going to eat this a little bit later. Y'all don't touch one drop of that. I see you. Y'all don't be eating that shit. And me neither, because they do it to me too. They always bring me. I don't eat that shit either. Y'all know not to eat that shit. When they bring a potluck. Now, they eat all your shit, because y'all know grandma, big mama, nana. Well, grandma is very clean. Our grandparents are hella clean. You can't come. The kitchen can't be dirty. Grandma is hella clean. Our grannies are hella clean. But you know how they living. Y'all ain't about to eat none of that pie, that rhubarb. Y'all ain't not about to eat none of that boysenberry. Y'all not about to eat that shit. You look at it and it looks like a hair is in it. Ugh, ah, give me a knife. You look at it, it don't look right. It look like a fingerprint is in it. Oh no, you're not eating it. Y'all know not to eat it. When your white friends be bringing y'all shit at the potluck, y'all act like y'all gonna eat it. Y'all coming to work front. Man, I ate your okra casserole, Catherine. It was delicious. Thank you, Sharquita. You know, Sharquita didn't eat nan drop of that shit. Line your ass off. Hey, Bonnie, I ate some of your Rice Krispie treats yesterday. They were scrump-delicious. Oh, thank you, Jamal. Jamal is lying. Jamal did not eat them Rice Krispie treats. Jamal fed them shits to the dog. You did not eat them Rice Krispie treats. You're like, oh, Lord, they don't wash their hands. I done seen this motherfucker go to the bathroom, and I didn't hear no water running. I am not eating these fucking Rice Krispie treats. No, thank you. Right in the trash. Yeah. Y'all are not eating it. Y'all be at work fronting, and I ain't mad at you. Nigga, I am not mad at you at all. Man, anyway, man, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. We've been up in here heavy, man. Don't forget, man, everybody, we still need you to contribute to the museum because we're still trying to pay off as much of the museum as possible. We're trying to pay off as much as possible. We're still trying to acquire the land right now. So we're working on that now. We still need, the land is $3 million. We got $1 million. I'm putting a little bit on it. We're trying to get that land. We're trying to see how much of a percentage that they want as a down payment. I wish we can just pay all of it out, just get it knocked out. So again, hit the Indiegogo, go to hiddenhistorymuseum.com. Let's still make this thing happen. Go to the new Foundation of Black American private Facebook group. Search it on Facebook, and we're going to make it happen. Again, go to buckbreakingmovie.com if you have not seen Buck Breaking. Go to hiddencolorsfilm.com if you have not seen Hidden Colors. Get all the DVDs, and I'm going to holla this Sunday. Y'all be good.